This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I'm dancing by myself today, unfortunately. Our friend Dean is off in Goderich. Lucky him, the prettiest town in Canada, according to Queen Elizabeth. But yes, he's on a job in Goderich, and it is a beautiful town if you ever get a chance to go that way. Of course, it's right on Lake Huron, and with the fall colors coming, he's in a lovely, lovely space. So I'm on my own, but that doesn't mean I want to stay alone. So I'm going to be looking forward to your calls. Remember, you can call me from the local calling area, 416-360-0740, or outside the local, 866-740-4740. Our mantra, call early, call often, but one question per caller. And of course, we say call early because sometimes people hesitate, and then at the end, there's all kinds of callers left on hold and never get on air. And the call often is because, you know, once you've called and you've asked your one question, if there's still open lines, of course, you could be on the show for the entire hour if you just keep speed dialing us and nobody else is calling in. But yes, happy to hear from you. Questions about what's going on in your gardens, inside, outside. Also, of course, I love to hear tips. I love to hear what's working for you, what isn't working, you know, any of those kind of sort of, you know, fun things, techniques, things you've learned, or real success stories, something that's worked well this year for you that you'd like to share with the other listeners. Today, the Agent Court Garden Club is sending out a big invitation to everybody between 2 and 4 p.m. today. The Agent Court Garden Club is hosting their annual flower, vegetable, and design competition. It's free to everybody. It takes place at the Knox United Christian Education Center, which of course is at 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. Now, what this is all about, it's not a true meeting, it's a show, but it's a competition. So the competitors will be in the, you know, standing in the wings, wringing their hands with great distress because there's huge bragging rights when you win ribbons at these horticultural competitions. So it's flowers, vegetables, and design. And this is the time of year where we have incredible vegetable competitions going on. And it's all, there's rules, and everybody has to follow the rules and bring the plants in the right condition to participate in the competitions. But it's pretty fun to see what the wonderful things are that people have been growing this season. And then the design, of course, is a whole other aspect, because design, I think, is based not just on stuff you grow yourself, but sometimes it's from purchased materials, but again, to meet certain criteria. All right, we got lots coming up here. I've got a special guest next week. I will be sharing you the information who that guest will be. Plus, I have an upcoming event, three upcoming events in Campbellford, starting on September 25th. So I'm going to let you know all about that too, right after this.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Right. I mentioned that I have an upcoming event, actually three upcoming events. So mark these on your calendar. It's a very, very interesting and cool event. A friend of mine actually started something called Artworth, one word, Artworth, an arts and nature program for children. And the vision, of course, was to nurture children's creativity and deep sense of belonging to the land. Now, this year, and that was in 2005, so here we are 19 years later, and the same group of people, because Artworth is a flourishing summer activity right across the Trent Hills and Northumberland County. So this year, for the first time, Artworth for adults is being, the waters are being tested to see if adults are also interested in, and, you know, again, learning more about being stewards of the land and the waters and flourishing together, right? As a people, as a land, as a wildlife, all of it. So I am going to be in the town of Campbellford. They have an old movie theater called the Aaron Theater. It's a co-op, and I'll be at the Aaron Theater on September 25th at 7 p.m., speaking on the subject of Soil is Sexy, and it's one of my favorite topics. Of course, then October 16th, Gardening in a Changing Climate, also at 7 p.m., and then October 30th, The Big Chill, or Preparing Your Garden for Winter, 7 p.m., all events are 7 p.m., at the Aaron Theater in Campbellford. Very affordable. I think it's $10 per event. So for more information, artworthcamp, one word, .ca. Once you go to that site, you'll see there's a little tab that says Artworth for Adults. And then click on that tab and it'll take you right to all the events that are being brought to you by the really cool people in the Campbellford area. So there's that. And let's see, we do have lots of callers. So let's get right to one of them. We have, let's see, is it Elizabeth on the line calling from Scarborough? Good morning, Elizabeth.
Oh, good morning. I have I had a 45-year-old boxwood that succumbed to that moth. So now my question is, how do I get rid of that large stump?
How big is that large stump when you look at the trunk?
Well, we've got rid of the bush, so now, and I sort of down to the ground, but this, it was in the ground for 45 years, so you can imagine the size of the bush.
Sure, and lots of roots.
So there's a whole area there that I'd like to maybe put a hydrangea or something there, but this huge stump, I do? How do I kill it?
Okay, well, there
You're
are
laughing.
A couple of ways. Believe it or not, there's a product called a stump remover. I think it's still available in Ontario. The actual name, if you Google stump remover, it is potassium nitrate. It is something where you drill holes into the stump. You pour the salt, which is what this is, into the holes, and it will speed up the decomposition of the stump. If the stump isn't too close to your home or a fence or anything that burns, you can smolder burn the stump by pouring kerosene into those same little drilled holes and smolder burn the stump. But of course, you wouldn't do that if you're in a very, you know, close environment with a lot of density and houses, et cetera.
There are
chainsaws that are used as stump grinders. So it's literally a chainsaw that goes into the ground. So it goes through the soil, but it chews up the stump, and it'll go down underground 4 or 5, 6 inches, the length of the chain.
Well, I've seen those. The tree on our boulevard many years ago died, and the city came up, and they used one of those to grind out the stump. And then they a year later, they replaced the tree that is doing beautifully now. But so I'm familiar, but I don't know where you get one of those. That's probably
you'd
an
have
expensive
to,
situation.
Well, you have to Elizabeth, you'd have to contact an arborist who would come and grind the stump for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is, you know, like, so what are we saying here? We're saying that, and then, of course, the third thing is you get a tractor and a chain and you pull the stump out. But most people don't do that.
No.
Particularly, if you're close to buildings, because you're just going to cause too much distress to the other gardens and the, you know, foundations of buildings and fences. So we know that the stump will eventually decompose. It will disappear over time. It's going to take a long time, but it will disappear. In the
meantime,
are you
talking like years?
You know,
Okay.
Well, it'll take as long to decompose as it took to grow. It'll be 40 years of decomposition. But that's okay. It's adding good organic matter to the soil. So don't panic about that. What I would do in your situation is I would buy a hydrangea, if that's what you want. I'd buy a small one. The smaller the pot, the easier it's going to be. And then you go out there where that stump is and those roots are with a probe or a sharp shovel, and you poke into the ground. You find a pocket where you can insert that root ball of the new plant in amongst the roots of the now dead boxwood. Sometimes you even have to, I've done this where I take a root ball out of a round pot and I squeeze it into a triangle to fit the pocket between the roots. Get that down. Of course, you have to get it deep enough so that it's at the right depth. Get some fresh soil, because the boxwood would have taken all the soil and the nutrient, a lot of the nutrient anyway. So some fresh, good, triple mix, that sort of thing, or manure to mix in as you're doing this whole thing and get it in the ground. And then just ignore the boxwood stump. It will disappear eventually if that works for you. So there's a couple of suggestions, all right?
Okay. Now, when you say hydrangea, is there one that would, because this is a huge bare spot at the front of my house, and something that would grow fairly quickly and bloom, is there a hydrangea that you would recommend?
How much sun? What direction does the front of your house face?
How much what?
How much sun?
It's all the morning sun.
Morning sun. All right. So you want to get a hydrant. You don't want to get the ones that are blooming now. The ones that are blooming now are the PG hydrangeas or the paniculatas. They need lots and lots of sun. The more the better. What you want is a hydrangea macrophylla. So they're the round flowers. You know what? There's a whole series called the Endless Summer series, which are quite lovely and do very nicely, usually, and quite effective. What else is out there that's really good? Go to your Scarborough. You've got lots of great garden centers you can swing through and just, explain to them. You've got morning sun and a big space. Hydrangeas, again, give them a couple of years to get established, but 4 feet across and 4 feet wide is about your average height for the macrophylla hydrangeas. Thank you, Elizabeth. Good luck with that. And it looks like we have to just zip off to listen to some important messages from our sponsors, but we'll be right back after this.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right. I'll just give you the numbers quickly one more time, though we do have some callers waiting. Local number 416-360-0740 and outside the local calling area 866-740-4740. Helen is on the line calling from Toronto. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Charlie. Love your show.
Thank you.
I have a huge problem I hope you can help me with. I have grubs in my lawn, and my lawn is wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? Can I do something now, or do I have to wait till the spring?
Oh, no. Now is the time to do it, not the spring. So you had grubs in your lawn, and your lawn was wrecked last spring. Am I correct?
It had grubs, but not like this time.
Oh, so if you go out to your lawn right now, like, did you repair your lawn last spring and make it all look good for the summer?
It was beautiful at the beginning of the summer.
Okay, and right now, what does it look like?
Well, you know what, Charlie, I have had somebody come and fertilize, yes, but nothing but grubs.
Okay, well, the way we know we have grubs now is the grubs are tiny. They have just hatched out of eggs. So they're not the big, ugly, white, put them on a skewer and put them on the barbecue-sized grubs. They're little, tiny, tiny, white caterpillars or larvae under the ground chewing the roots of our lawns and our gardens. Any roots. They love roots. So you know you have grubs if you have yellow patches starting to form in your lawn. It'll look like a loony or a toony-sized round yellow patch, like a dog peed there. And then if you watch that yellow patch, it will start to expand. It'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. If you lean down and you tug on the yellow tufts of grass that are above ground, they will come up easily because there are no roots attached, and that tells you you have grubs. So yes, that it, some people do have grubs right now, but keep in mind they are tiny grubs. They're not easy to see, but they are doing damage, and do not wait till spring, because in spring they're virtually impossible to kill. So if you're going to kill them, you're going to kill them now. How do you kill them? Well, there's two methods. One is, there is a product called Grub Be Gone. I believe that's what it's called. And it is, it's a form of BT. So remember, we used BTK when we were killing gypsy moths. Well, now we use BTB, I believe is what it's called, for grub control. So it's a bacteria. You must follow all the directions on the package. Read very carefully. Also, check the expiry date on the package before you buy it. From date of manufacture, this particular bacteria is only good for about 16, 17 months. And the date of manufacture is on the bag. So yeah, Grub Be Gone, Max, Grub Be Gone, any of these are all basically the same thing. The other form of controlling, the other way to control grubs at this time of year is with nematodes. So nematodes, when you buy them, will be dormant eggs. You will immerse the little sponge that's full of thousands of eggs into water, and you will water the areas of your lawn where you're starting to see damage, or the areas where you did have damage last spring, with, again, following all the instructions on the package. Both Grub Be Gone and nematodes will travel down to where the grubs are, but they need water in order to travel. They do not move through dry soil. They only move in water. So you've got to have access to either sprinklers, or rain is coming, or a hose, and you've got to have moist soil, and you're able to water these in. They're very effective if you can follow all the instructions. All right?
The Bugs Be Gone will do it as well?
Yep. Yeah, Grub Be Gone, not Bug Be Gone. I think there's something called Bug Be Gone. You don't want that. It's got to say grubs on the package.
Okay. Okay. Well, it looks like little... I don't really see the yellow that you're talking about, but it's a little holes, digging holes about 2 inches deep, little round holes. Oh, it's a mess.
Oh, so that could be birds. That could be like starlings taking the grubs. If you see something, you know there's something down there. If you're seeing little holes, something is you know, robins, anybody's trying to eat whatever's down there. So either of what I mentioned, nematodes or Grub Be Gone, will work, but follow the instructions. All right? And your lawn should be fine next spring if you can control the grubs now.
Yeah,
there we go. Thanks, Ellen. Oh, yeah, I know. I might just see my neighbor's places here. We were pretty fortunate in my yard. We had grubs, but they weren't of any quantity to cause any problems. But some of my neighbors had some serious grub issues. And, of course, they knew that because the raccoons would come every night and tear up their lawns. And no matter how many times they patched the lawn back together, starting last February, it went on right through until May. Just massive damage done by the raccoons. But, of course, the raccoons are doing us a favor because they're eating the grubs. So it all starts with grub control. And now is the time to do it. Yes, indeed. Let's get and see what's going on in Hagersville. Ann is on the line. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
I'm excellent.
Hello?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I have a question. Last year, I planted grape tomatoes. That's G-R-A-P-E tomatoes. Mm. And I really, really liked them. So this year, I wanted to plant the same kind, but I could not find the label. So I got something else, and I don't like them. Unknown to me, last year's crop reappeared in a corner of my garden, and the tomatoes are awesome, and I want to collect the seeds for the 2025 growing season, but I don't know how to do this.
Oh, good idea. Well, all right, so what you're going to do is, once the tomatoes are ripe, you'll know that the seeds are also mature at that point. You will harvest the tomatoes, but instead of just chowing down on the tomatoes, you're going to have to cut them open, remove the seeds. Once you get the seeds out of the tomato, then you can, of course, eat the flesh, but get the seeds out before you eat them. What's so interesting about tomato seeds is they have like a jelly, clear jelly coating on the seed. And that is just the way the tomatoes have evolved to keep the seeds from germinating inside the tomato. Because, of course, inside it's perfect conditions for the seeds to grow with lots of moisture, and it's nice and dark and it's often warm. So that little jelly on the outside of the seed inhibits seed germination. So you're going to wash that off. You're going to take all those seeds. You're going to use your fingers, you know, just gently. You're going to wash them off. You're going to lay the seeds out onto paper towel and dry them off so they're nice and dry. And then you're going to put them away for the winter. You're going to put them into a dark, preferably just a paper envelope works. You want them in the dark, and you prefer to have them into paper. And then you'll put them away in a dry spot for the winter, dry, cool, basement, whatever. Then we'll start talking in next April about getting going, starting our tomato seeds. And that would be optimal, would be to start them indoors next year for the spring of 2025 and summer of 2025 harvest. And yeah, usually I plant my tomatoes about 6 weeks before the last frost. So it might be, yeah, early to mid-April when we'll start planting tomatoes next year. But for now, save those seeds. And one other suggestion. You might recall we have had Emma Biggs on the show. She is the tomato gal, and she has a great, just double checking, Emma Biggs. She's got a great, she's got a blog. But emmabiggs.ca. She has tips on tomato growing. So you can check out her. Also, in your neighborhood, you probably have some seedy events, seed swaps. Again, there's people around you who know and also save seeds. So it's an opportunity to meet other seed people and perhaps do some swapping and maybe learn more about saving other seeds. You know, once you get into it, it's a pretty fun thing to do. So, yeah, good luck with that. Thanks for calling. All right. I just make notes here as I go. Coming up, we have Jean on the line, and she's giving us a call from Newmarket. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. First of all, Charlie, I am your honorary president of your fan club. You are right all the time. How do you do that? This morning, you switched from this type of problem to that type of problem, and you know what's best? If you don't know it, you'll admit it and you look it up. Amazing.
Yeah, I know. I don't know everything, that's for sure. I know a lot, but I've been doing this for a very long time.
Once in every 200 calls, you look it up. But you do look it up. Okay, my praise.
Thank you.
I've wanted a Hoya. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Hoya forever and ever. And with your guidance, I got one this spring at Bradford Greenhouses. Now, the downside was, I don't know what kind I got. They were all there. They're about 2 inches high. And I just was so desperate, I took one. Well, the darn thing is growing like mad. It came, it was only 2 inches wide, the little cup. Yeah. And then I moved it up one, because I know what Charlie says, just up one. Mm-hmm. And now it's got to be 12 feet. It's got to be 12 inches. And it's in a 3-inch pot. Okay. Can I please transplant?
Okay, so you're obviously doing something very right. It's a very happy plant, so that's good. You're giving it the conditions it wants, and it's thriving, and that's great. Yeah. So two things are happening. Days are getting shorter. So remember what you've been experiencing all summer, this massive growth and vitality in the plant, will slow down as winter comes. Even though these plants are inside our homes and they're tropical plants and they don't know what winter is, they still will respond to the shortened days and the longer nights and slow down. So they'll use less water and they'll grow less quickly. So remember that we do not do any more fertilizing of our indoor plants anymore. We want to let them just do what they're going to do this winter and don't try and make them grow when they're not prepared to grow. You'll know it's time to transplant that Hoya if you pick up the pot you've got it in now and you look at the drainage holes in the bottom of the pot and look for roots. When roots start to grow out the holes, it's time to transplant. So if you think, and it's quite likely that it is time to move that plant up, and I would recommend moving it sooner than later. Don't wait till December, because December is like the worst time to transplant plants. Okay. It is It is stressful for plants to be transplanted, so we don't want to do it when it's dark and they're just basically snoozing and they don't want to deal with you messing around with them. So do it now. Again, just jump up, you know, to a 6-inch pot and fresh, you know, add fresh soil as part of it.
I want your audience to know that you took me from a person that can't even grow a spider to everything I touch now is blooming because I called Charlie first. Thank you very much, Charlie.
Thanks for calling, Jean. Good luck with that. I love good, happy stories. Keep those coming. Why not? Okay, yeah, get that transplanted, I would say. It's probably time. All right. I'm going to give the numbers quickly. Then we're going to go to Rose, and I've got lots more interesting little tidbits to share with you, as well as our special guest who's joining us next week. But our local number 416-360-0740, or outside the local 866-740-4740. Rose is on the line. Good morning, Rose. Calling from Hamilton.
Good morning, Charlie. I have called you before about roses, but this time it's a new one. I have a garden, and I've had one for the last roughly 40 years, and I've always put in beets, and they've always been beautiful. Except this last 3 days, something has yanked out my beets and eaten them all. And just left
I love it.
And
yanked
just left all the leaves are all wilted. And in 3 days, they've decimated the whole patch. Can you tell me what happened and what I can do about it?
Okay, well, number one, I guess the main thing is you're going to just have to harvest those beets now. You can't stop. Like, if it's already, once the beets are up out of ground, you're going to have to, you know, wash them and eat them, kind of thing. So that's unfortunate. You probably weren't ready to quite harvest the beets yet, but it sounds like you sort of have to. So what's doing it? Well, there's lots of little critters out there that could find your beets to be very exciting. And the fact that they're being yanked out is interesting, though. I was thinking more something underground, like voles maybe was chewing them. But no, if they're being yanked out, squirrels, raccoons, groundhogs, something is pulling them up to then chew them. In the future, next year, I guess. Okay, so there's a couple of things you could consider for next year. One is to protect the beets from little critters with like cage, like a tunnel across the beets of chicken wire, or even just there's netting that you can use that is used to protect plants from certain predators. So called a netting as a tunnel across the beets. You could consider that next year to try and put a barrier between your beets and whatever critter is doing the damage. Or number one. Number two, there are motion detector sprinklers that will, you would set it up into the garden at night before you go to bed, because I assume it's happening at night. And when the little critters go out to start going to town in your beet field, the water will automatically come on, high pressure water, blow them out of the beet field into a patch of thistles, hopefully, and then they won't come back. So that's number two. Number three is a product I've used. It's completely organic. It will not hurt the beets or hurt you. It's called Plant Skid. And I think I've mentioned it before. They actually should probably be paying me for mentioning them so much. Plant Skid. So PLANT, and then S as in Sam, K as in Kitchener, Y as in yellow, and then D as in dog. So Plant Skid Canada. That you could spray on your beets back when they first, you wouldn't even do it back when they first germinated. You would do it probably right around August, mid-August. And remember that when you spray, the spray is on the leaves. No animal is going to touch your beets if you spray them with this stuff. It's a interesting product that scares away squirrels, elk, beavers, you know what I'm saying, rabbits, all animals stay away from Plant Skid. So you would spray that, but new growth would not be a deterrent. So you might have to spray more than once. You would just read the instructions on how to best move forward with that. But that's what I would do. I would consider a mechanical barrier, a motion detector, you know, scary thing, or even a spray, like a deterrent. And sometimes noise works, but, you know, in the dark, you can't work with scarecrows and that sort of thing. But that's where all these deterrents come from. I mean, you get into grape country where the vineyards are in action, trying to protect the grapes from all the birds. They've got cannons blowing. They've got fans going off. They got all kinds of things going on to try and protect the grapes. So that's what it really comes down to, is ways to keep the hungry animals out of your crop. So good luck with that, Rose. That's a tough one. Maybe somebody who's listening might have a good suggestion as well on what to do. All right, one more quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. Here we are. Not too many minutes left in the show. So I'm going to now let you know we have a special guest next week. I'll be in studio with my guest. His name is Jonas Spring, and he is the principal of a company called Ecoman. So E-C-O-Man, Ecoman. So Jonas is a very interesting individual. He's very urban Toronto-based. I met him originally through Canada Blooms when he was working with Victoria Taylor. His company is a company that provides services like landscape installations. They do consulting, design work, maintenance for people who need help, either seasonal maintenance or ongoing maintenance. He's also got some great connections in the art world. So they do all kinds of art installations and commissions for special projects. But what makes Jonas and his company different from the average landscape company is that he comes at life with a very strong sense of our role as stewards of the earth, and not as that we will ever be able to control Mother Nature, but that we will work with. So, of course, the idea of working to increase the quality of your life and enhancing habitat for wildlife and improving the value of your land is part of what they're all about. So it offers, him and his company offer you an opportunity to be good stewards to the land. And their idea is that they just want to help. They want to help you, and they want to help your land to really reach its fullest potential. So Jonas will be here. He'll share some of his philosophy, but also some good stories, because he's a pretty quirky guy. All right. On that note, let's see what's going on in Markham. Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, good morning, Charlie.
Morning. What's going on?
Good morning.
Morning. What's going on in your garden, Elaine?
Good morning.
Hello, can you hear me? Oh, this doesn't seem good. Hello, Elaine. Can you hear me? No? All right. Let's not talk to Elaine. Let's see who's calling from Toronto. I can't see the name. There we go. Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Hello. This is Pat. I have a bad cold, but I hope you can hear me.
Yes, fine.
Charlie, I have a row of weigelias. Actually, they're about 5 feet tall, at least some of the branches. Some of the branches are smaller, you know, they're all coming along. And I was wondering, should I cut them all the same height before the winter?
Hmm.
Like some of the branches are much taller than I am. And
sure.
Then, you know, they're all coming along good and filling
okay.
out. And I'm making a hedge from the four shrubs
okay.
between
so
my neighbor and I.
Okay, so that sounds lovely. Now, if you just share with me, ultimately, do you want the hedge to be a formal clipped hedge, you know, straight sides, straight top, or do you want it to be an informal hedge where each of the plants, it kind of does its own thing within reason?
I don't want it too formal, but I just thought because they're kind of, you know, they're, I don't know how to explain it, but they're growing very fast, and they're spreading out a little bit. And I was going to gently put something light around them before the snow, because the snow would kind of split them and, you know, put some of the branches on the ground.
Okay, so, all right, weigela is a pretty tough shrub. It shouldn't need any winter protection. If you're worried about snow protection, remember the leaves will fall off before there's any snow. So the snow should fall between the branches. So I wouldn't, if, yeah, I mean, you could, sometimes people will tie them just gently with some string. So if they're, if you've got, so like you said, some of the stems are very, very tall. So bring some of those really tall stems down, no more than a third of their height. I wouldn't do it now. I'd wait another month or so. It's a bit early in the fall to be pruning, because you're going to promote new growth and you don't want that. So you, to prune them down to get them looking better for the winter, and also help in terms of withstanding snowfall and ice storms, who knows. You could consider some jute twine tied very loosely around each plant. If they're 4 feet tall, you'd go up about halfway, and you would just do a, you know, a circle around and just pull the branches in towards the center, though I probably wouldn't do that, but you could if you wanted to, and just leave them for the winter. Next spring, you may find there's a bit of deadwood, so you'll cut out the deadwood, but then you'll just enjoy them, let them grow. They flush out with flowers, yeah, usually in early June. And if you wanted to do any kind of shaping and pruning, that would be the time, is after that first flush of flowers. Because many of the newfangled weigela now will continue to bloom. Well, even the older varieties will often bloom again, which is one of the claims to fame of weigela, is that it doesn't just bloom once. It will bloom early summer, midsummer, and sometimes even late summer. So best time to prune is after that first blooming. And yeah, just bring some of the branches down, particularly if they're, you know, dangerous, they're going to get broken in the wind, or they're, you know, in front of a window, that sort of thing. Do that, but try and wait if you can until we're more into some cooler weather, like maybe a month from now. All right, Pat? Sound good?
Charlie? Yeah? Can I just mention to you, they're blooming right now.
Right.
They've been blooming in the front and the back for a good 6 weeks.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and so it's always tough. When do you prune them when they're always blooming like that? But so wait, just wait another month or so, and then do whatever pruning you want to do to make them look reasonable for the winter. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. I love your accent. Thanks, Pat. Very good. All right. Looks like we might have Elaine back on the line. Good morning, Elaine. Oh, no, sorry. Joe. Joe is in London. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes, good morning.
I just wondered, I've just bought some more new seed, and I just wondered, would I be wasting my time in reseeding, not reseeding, but adding to the, my grass is fine, but I just wondered if, would I be wasting my time by putting the seed down?
Okay.
It's got fertilizer in it, too.
Okay, so this is the time of year when we have very good success with what we call top dressing and overseeding. So top dressing is some soil. Overseeding, of course, is sprinkling some grass seed out to thicken up an existing lawn or patch areas where we've had some issues. If your lawn is in really good shape, I wouldn't bother. What makes you think you want to add seed?
It's mainly for patching.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Do the patching, but get a little soil as part of the process. And for sure, this is the best time, because even if it doesn't rain, we get dew every night. So every morning, the grass is all nice and moist. So your seeds that you're going to put down will take advantage of that dew, that moisture, and they are more likely to grow in the fall than they ever will be in the spring. So any patching, any overseeding, get that stuff out now for sure. And of course, you probably have sprinklers, so you can always keep the seed moist. Once you got the seed down, water it as necessary. Keep it moist so that it will germinate before winter. Thanks, Joe. All right.
That's very quickly, good. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your service.
You're very welcome. We're off to listen to some important messages from our sponsors.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Now, listening to that intro reminds me of all the different things I have blooming in my garden right now and what kind of pollinator magnets I've ended up planting on purpose, frankly. And I will, if we have time before the show ends, I'm going to give you a quick list. So get your pens and pencils ready. I'm going to give you a list of what is a true magnet in my garden and is just a flutter and a buzz with insects right now as we speak. In the meantime, Elaine from Markham is on the line. Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, hi, Charlie. It's about hi. My Rose of Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got a lot of flowers on it, but mm-hmm. it has grown like crazy in the last month even. So I'm mm-hmm. wondering about trimming it. Should I do it now or wait till spring? It's huge.
I prefer to trim Rose of Sharon in the spring. Partially because obviously you want to enjoy the flowers now. Also, those flowers will set fruits. So they're little, they turn into little brown sort of husky capsules attached to the plant. And they can be somewhat ornamental through the winter as well. In the spring, however, you can go to town. I mean, you can really trim that plant down. If it's a big, vigorous plant, in the spring, you can cut it down by half its height and half its width if it's really, really overtaking the space where you originally planted it. So, but I would not do that now. I wouldn't do any radical pruning now. If you want to do some small pruning, just because it's blocking a window or something, I get it, but, you know, big pruning is for the spring when it comes to Rose of Sharon, all right?
Oh, my goodness, and I can do a really drastic, oh, my goodness, oh, that's wonderful. Okay, my daughter was saying, oh, I don't want to really touch it, Mom, it's so beautiful, but anyway, I'll wait till spring. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and of course, everybody's more willing to touch when it's not full of flowers, so that's part of something to keep in mind as well. So, you know, pruning when, Rose of Sharon, spring. Okay, so listen, I'm going to, we just have a few minutes left. So I mentioned I have some pollinator magnets on my property right now, and I just want to, I mean, there's all the sort of ongoing insect activity in plants like Monarda, also known as bee balm, the black-eyed Susans, Russian sage, if you have a property big enough, lots of flowers on that right now, Gallardia blooming like crazy, even purple basil covered in flowers, lots of insects. But when I'm talking magnets, I'm talking like thousands of insects hovering around garlic chives. If you have space and you're willing to get garlic chives on your property, they tend to take over. Asters in bloom now, covered in insects. Something called Heptacodium. So Hep, H-E-P, Tacodium, also known as Seven Sun Flower. Beautiful shrub in bloom right now, just buzzing with insects. Fragrant white blooms, gets a really cool look after the blooms are done in a month or so. Shaggy bark, so a nice plant year-round, and a small tree, so nice in a fairly small yard. So the sedum, of course, in bloom, the tall sedum right now. Catmints, if you have catmint on your property, I have one called Walker's Low. Blooms all summer. There are still some blooms on it now, despite the drought we've been under, and lots of insects around that. And then one, again, that is, if you've got room for it, it's a vigorous plant. It'll happily take over your property. Agastache, the one I have is called Blue Boa. So agastache or hyssop, covered with big bumblebees. So all different insects. Now, that's another point. These pollinators are not the same insects on the different plants. So big bees, little bees, and I don't even know all the names of all the different kinds of insects that are on them, but it's pretty great. I love it. So we've got, you know, a real good fall going on when it comes to the insect activity and the flower activity. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ashi. Thank you, Anthony. Couldn't do any of this without my great production team in Toronto. And I'm saying, you know, thank you from Prince Edward County to all of our great callers. I'll be in studio next week. Remember, special guest, Jonas Spring. See you then next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.